Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Out of the Drawing Pen, a Pokemon the Series podcast. Where each week we're actually changing it up this week. We'll be watching and discussing two episodes to kind of switch it up a little bit just to see how it goes. And as always, this podcast is rated M for mature, but it's also rated I for immature. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Caw-caw!
Why are you caw-cawing, Austin?
Because we have a special guest with us today. My hawk friend is back, and they're just chilling out here watching us.
They've been there for every podcast, too. I really love the loyalty that they have demonstrated.
They're just looking for a good lunch.
Hopefully they find it. And we're here with our other co-host, Alex.
Hopefully that lunch isn't you, Austin. Pick you up and carry you away.
I'm physically larger than it. I could peck my eyes out, but I'm wearing glasses, so I think I'm good.
The birds know no limits. The birds here know no limits. They will try for anything at any time. So be careful, Austin. And if we hear from you next week, you know you're all good.
Okay, great.
All right, so that includes everyone. What have you guys done this week?
Alex?
I guess I'll start. So.
Yeah, you're going to start.
We had a very exciting day yesterday. We went to a science museum where they were having an event that had to do with geology and rocks. And that was really interesting. So we drove all the way up there and we attended the rock festival event. And it was very hot. Maybe not the best day to do this, but it was indoor and outdoor at least. So that was good. It was pretty interesting for anybody who likes rocks and gemstones. What's
your favorite kind of rock?
Oh, that's a hard one. Oh my god, I didn't even realize. Oh, that's a hard one.
I could see your face, and I know you did accidentally, but that was
it. Oh my gosh.
It's really good.
I'm the queen of inadvertent puns. Austin, you missed
there you
it.
Go.
You walked away.
Oh, sorry. I realized I had another guest. I had to remove.
No worries.
We'll reenact it. So, Alex, what's your favorite rock?
I'm going to listen to audio. It'll be a surprise.
Okay, all right.
Go back and listen to the surprise playback. To answer your question, I don't know. They're all pretty in their own way. I guess if I had to pick, rhodonite. I was trying to buy a sample of rhodonite yesterday, but unfortunately the ATM at the place was broken, so they lost a sale. So sucks for them, but...
What category does that fall under? Is that like a metamorphic or sedimentary or...
You're asking me? I don't know. I'm not that up to date on my different kinds of rocks. I just think they're pretty.
Is it real shiny?
It's kind of... It's not like a shiny gemstone, but it's sort of like gray and pink.
Right, cool deal.
So that was exciting.
Austin, did you enjoy this as well? You accompanied Alex on this journey?
I did accompany Alex on this trip. I enjoyed myself. I really liked the museum part. I have no interest in buying rocks, but it was interesting to see the marketplace. Children kept on flocking up to me every 5 seconds. I would literally just be standing there, and these children would appear, be like, "Look, I got a ruby," and I was like, "Cool." And the mom was like, "Get away from that man!" And I'm like, "Yeah, thank you."
For those who don't know, Austin has a way with children and animals. He's just a very likable, friendly guy, and they can sense your pure aura, and they
That's
flock
why I have
to
a
you.
Friend.
And you also have a hawk friend. See, it's true.
So yeah, it was fun. What else did I do? Nothing. Just chilling.
Like a villain. Luckily, there was air conditioning. Thank God for the person that invented air conditioning.
Didn't you know the person that invented air conditioning was a mass murderer?
Really?
No, I made that up.
Oh, I was about to say that could be legit because he invented it to like keep people inside. So like it'd be easy. It'd be
To make
easy.
their
Order
victims more comfortable when he
them.
stabs
Yeah,
them to
like they're
death.
all they're all alone in a house. It'd be easier to, maybe get in there and stab stab, but I don't know.
See, I don't know who
I
to
thought that's
believe
what you were going
anymore.
for.
Between you and
How was
Jacob.
your week?
My week was pretty good. I didn't it was so hot yesterday, I didn't get to do a lot of stuff, but I like, took care of the yard, which was nice. That needed to be taken care of. And I watched Weathering with You,
Oh, yeah.
which,
Didn't I buy that for you?
yeah, you did. I
Oh,
appreciate it.
yeah.
Yeah, we've watched it several times since you've bought it for us. But it's
I haven't seen it.
you haven't?
Nope.
You saw Your Name though, right? Because this is the
Yeah,
kind of like
you
the
showed me that.
yeah, Your Name, yeah.
Yeah, you showed me that, and I made a joke while we were watching it, and I actually predicted the entire final act of the movie as a joke, and you were like, "Stop spoiling it." I'm like, "There's no way that's possibly going to be the plot of this movie." And it was.
See, the funny thing about that is, I did the exact same thing you did when I first saw it. Like when that like one scene happens and you're like, "Oh, I guess that's the gonna be the plot of this movie," and well, not just I guess we can spoil it, whatever. I said the exact same thing you did, jokingly, and it turned out to be the plot. And I was like, "There's no way I could have saw that coming." Like to everybody who was watching it with us.
Sorry for the spoilers, Alex.
Oh, that's okay. I don't even really know what you guys are referencing, so.
They're probably, well, Your Name until this year was like the highest grossing anime film of all time. And then Weathering You is by the same director and same company. And it depends what tone or mood you're in, which one you prefer to watch. Like Weathering With You is more of like a humor base and keeps its humor throughout. Whereas like Your Name kind of gets like hits the midpoint of the movie and then it's all serious. Like you're not getting any more jokes or really anything like that. You're gonna just get nothing but emotion for the next hour. So, like I said, it just depends whatever kind of mood you're in to which one you prefer.
Oh, I'm gonna make two recommendations actually.
Go for it.
For TV series that got canceled this past year that were airing on network television. One of them is an animation domination sitcom in the vein of Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, but it's called Le Bless the Hearts. It has an all-star voice cast, or I guess it did. And it was about a family living in semi-rural, lower middle class North Carolina. And I don't know. It was just kind of cute. It had like a lot of like mother daughter dynamics going on, a lot of like wacky situations and a lot of stuff that's really specific to like the Bible Belt experience. And the main character's best friend is Jesus. So I don't know. It was fun and cute. I think it didn't get a fair shot. It got canceled after 2 seasons. So meanwhile, God, Family Guy is still going. Jesus. The other one, it was an ABC drama, which normally isn't really my jam, but it had Katie Sagal in it, and I love her. So it's based on a real life like consumer advocate or activist. I can't recall her name off the top of my head. But it was called Rebel. But I don't know. It was really fun. It was kind of campy, but kind of not. I enjoyed it. It only lasted one season, and it ended on a big cliffhanger, and I'm really pissed about it.
Oh, that's
So hashtag save Rebel. Maybe
nice.
Hulu will pick it up. I don't know.
This
Oh,
podcast is
and
brought to you by.
And the woman who it's based on is Erin Brockovich.
Oh yeah, she was in she had her own movie too. I
Yeah,
can't remember
Julia
what it was.
Roberts.
Julia Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, but this is a TV show version,
Oh,
like it's
that's cool.
fictionalized. Yep.
So you get more story. Yeah.
Yep. So that's my recommendations.
Deal.
Very neat. We'll have to watch those.
What we need to watch is Star Wars Episode 9.
Yes. Oh, we
Damn.
almost got there. We almost got there. I was going to congratulate us because I was looking back at the whole bunch of previous episodes. Harry Potter and Star Wars is every part of our weeks, every single episode. Which is, I love it because there actually are really good conversations, but I was like, we maybe can get through it.
No,
Nope, nope, nope.
Alex, do a double feature of Star Wars Episode 9 and Fantastic Beasts 2.
Okay.
And report back.
All right, that'll be my homework assignment.
Okay, great.
Where can I watch episode 9 on Disney Plus?
Yes.
Or okay.
That's going to be your main assignment is to watch episode 9 because we need to conclude this discussion.
This
the Skywalker
arc.
saga.
Then we have something else to move on to and discuss what
Yep.
our soup du jour is for the next week.
Possibly we could discuss Pokemon.
Right.
Potentially. We'll see how it plays out. We'll get to it eventually. But yeah, that was pretty much my week. I did see a cool video today, though, that I think I'm going to describe to y'all. It was this lady. It was a Friday night. She had a very stressful week at work. She wanted to come home, and she just wanted to watch like an animal live stream. Just something to kind of help her wind down or whatever. And then she found this video of a pig named Ethel. And it was on a farm. And so she's watching it. And so the pig's just, you know, moseying around or whatever. But it knocks over its heat lamp. And then it starts kicking straw onto the heat lamp.
Uh-oh.
Oh, go.
And next thing she knows, there's a fire on the live stream. And so she looks down and she's the only one watching the live stream. One person in the whole world watching this pig about to get burnt to death. So she calls and calls. She calls 911. She calls the farm. She's calling everybody. And she finally gets a hold of the farmer. And he comes in and puts the fire out with her, the pig literally about to get, like, eaten, engulfed in flames. The farmer finally burst in the live stream and she's sitting there, like, cheering and stuff like
that. Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, my God, that is crazy. Could you imagine the stress and anxiety of you being the only one watching someone or something potentially just burn? I was like, oh, my God.
That could have been a tragedy.
I mean, at least she had the foresight to go ahead and call whoever she could. I mean, she could have just sat there and panicked, but
yeah, that's what actually... I was like, would I have froze, or would I have like have reacted the way she did? I hope I would have, like, you know, been able to save the pig's life.
Alex, it's like us and the lizard yesterday.
The lizard. Oh yes, the lizard. We almost had a crisis moment. Ooh. Where we thought we might have to call in the authorities to rescue a lizard that we saw trapped inside a car, but it turns out that the lizard belonged to new occupants of an apartment that was being moved into, so they were just leaving it in the car and then came back for it, presumably. So, crisis averted. We did not have to call 911, thankfully.
I was like, we have a moral obligation to save this lizard.
Luckily, we didn't have to jump in.
It's like that episode of The Office when they see the dog in the car and they don't even try to like bother to look for who owns it. They just smash the mirror in or smash the glass window. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, now what do we do? It could jump out of the car and run out in the busy street. So they just take like a cardboard box and tape it over the window and poke some holes in it and then just leave.
You're supposed to call 911 for that exact reason.
They just let it go.
I don't remember that. Which characters did that?
It was Oscar who... like, there's just random car sitting there in the Dunder Mifflin parking lot, and he just goes, we've tried them enough. It's after, like, 2 minutes. They call the number, they don't get anything, or, like, they call security, and they don't get anything, so they just smash it, like, a minute later. And then they go.
I mean, I'd feel worse not calling and letting the animals sit there than I would feeling, you know, about breaking open the window. I mean, that could be fixed, so.
Yeah, true that. True that. I would just be afraid of getting sued.
I mean, I wouldn't smash a window necessarily, but I would let someone else do it.
Oh my gosh.
you would advocate for it, you just wouldn't do it.
Right.
Okay.
What about if it was like a small child or something? Surely, I mean.
If it's a small child, then yeah, you should probably bust the window.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not that animals aren't important. Okay, I'm getting in trouble now.
Hopefully, animals. Okay. Hopefully,
I will smash every window and every car in the land to save all the animals.
Good. Hopefully, we never come across that. But I almost had a freak out moment with the lizard yesterday.
I could see y'all doing it though. Y'all would have done the right thing regardless. I could see Austin just taking his bare fist and punching
straight
the
through.
Window. Yeah, just straight through, like it's, I don't know, like it's made of cardboard.
I'm glad you can see that happening.
Oh yeah, easily.
So Jacob, we forgot to mention when we were on our way back from the Rock Science Fair. We were on the highway and we witnessed a very strange balloon incident where somebody, and we couldn't figure it out. We could not figure out if this was by design or if it was by accident, but there was two balloons hanging out of somebody's car window on the highway. And it was like, we were watching this happen in slow motion as the car got up to speed on the highway. We were going, what, like 70?
Yeah.
Maybe? And these balloons were flying around until they decided to snap and fly away. I don't know. I thought it was going to be a disaster. I thought this balloon was going to fly into somebody's like windshield or something or get sucked up into somebody's grill of their car. It happened in like slow motion and I was like, oh, there they go.
Well, it was really scary watching the two balloons like float in the wind before they broke off because it looked like, I don't know, protons circling a nucleus or something. They were on the move.
It was crazy. They started out really slow, just sort of like flapping lazily around, and then the car got faster and faster, and then it was like one of those wacky inflatable tube but like on steroids, and they were just it was kind of sad. And then I felt bad at the end because they just sort of snapped and just sort of violently flew away.
You had like a Final Destination kind of thing there.
If it's
like,
I die via Rube Goldberg trap circling around balloons on a highway, I'm not even gonna try and beat death. I'm just gonna let it happen because that's just nature.
Your time has come, right?
Yeah.
We were driving behind it, and for a split second, I thought, oh my God, it's gonna fly right into my line of sight. It's gonna cause this crazy accident. And luckily, they just flew straight up and not straight back, but still.
That is definitely a safety hazard, though, because, like, even if you know it's not gonna do any damage, you instinctively would, like, brake or, you know, you would swerve. Swerve or maneuver. Yeah, so.
That would have been a headline in yesterday's local news. Horrific traffic accident caused by rogue balloon.
So it just flew up in the sky, though, and was gone?
Yes, thankfully. There was two of them, and then I felt bad because I think it was a happy birthday balloon, whoever that was intended for did not get their balloon, but oh well.
Every time I see, like, balloons, like, drift off in the sky, I think of, like, I think it was the Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, yeah!
When they show the balloons and they're all happy, and when they get released, I think they get, like, super happy that they're finally free.
That was the Earth. Brave Little Toaster 2, I think.
The 2, yeah.
Where they went to Mars.
I didn't see that one. So you didn't? I'm horrified at the thought.
Austin, you're missing out on, like, cinema history here. You have to watch.
Was it even released in cinemas?
No, but fine, VHS history.
Okay, there we go.
God, the Brave Little Toaster was great. Really dark for a kid's show, but it was really good.
The first one traumatized me enough.
The clown scene and then the junkyard scene, that was kind of dark for a kid's show. Anyway, PSA of the day, please do not transport your balloons outside your vehicle when
and
you're driving.
Do not keep your lizards in cars.
Yes.
And be nice.
Be kind to others, as Ellen DeGeneres, nicest person on the planet, would tell us.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Remember, I think the lesson learned there is you only have to say it. You don't have to actually behave that in that way, right? So as long as you're saying it, you're good.
Yeah, be a hypocrite. That's really all anyone is.
Be a hypocrite. Nobody just be real, okay? Just be fake, and you'll make it. That's all you gotta do.
Make yourself out to be a martyr figure. That's the key to life.
That actually probably is. Yep. I do that all the time. So does that conclude our life lessons to end by? But does that conclude our week discussion?
It hasn't even been a week. It's been 2 days since we last recorded an episode.
Yeah. I was trying to hide that fact. But... So with us only doing two episodes this week, we kind of lifted up to the randomizer to decide who or which two of us would lay out the summary of the episodes.
Who's
and
it
the randomizer
be?
It has spoken. I did it during the Ellen DeGeneres talk. It is Austin, Alex, and then I am getting the boot.
You got the lucky break. You just get to sit back and watch the train wreck, okay?
Oh yeah. So this is our 30-second summary challenge where we summarize the episodes we watch, but the kick is we only get 30 seconds to do it, and most of the time it's awful and we fail, but we end up laughing at the end, and that's all that matters.
Watch the episodes on Netflix. It'd be a lot easier for you.
Or read the wiki or Bulbapedia or something if you want a good summary.
Look at the pictures on CRB.net.
Yep.
Or listen to us summarize it because we're fun and awesome.
We bring some personality to it those pictures can't.
Yes.
All right, the first episode we're going to be doing this week is, let me bring up my notice. Ooh, it's Prime Ape Goes Bananas, and that is episode 25. And
there was not a single banana in this episode, however, there are plenty of jelly donuts.
Yes, and oh, that's boy. Probably going to be the main topic of discussion for the episode. But, so Austin, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Three, two, one, go!
Professor Oak gives Ash a bunch of shit about not taking dozens upon dozens of Pokemon out of their natural environment and sending them to him. So Ash gets fixated on catching a Mankey, but then the Mankey beats him up and steals his hat that he sent him a million postcards for. Team Rocket appears, and they kick the Mankey, which then evolves into a Primeape, and it chases them even further. Eventually, Ash decides he's going to catch the Primeape, so Charmander gets a scary new move, and they catch the Primeape, but it's still beating him up. The end.
And time! Very well done, Austin.
Did you write a summary for that?
No, but this was a very simple episode, so it was very easy to summarize.
I think that was my favorite summary. Oh, and they all ate jelly donuts. Oh, yeah.
I was going to fill that in as the post fact check.
I thought about you this whole episode, Austin.
Me?
I was like, yeah, because we always joke about the jelly donuts and how ridiculous it is.
And I was we don't joke about that. The internet jokes about that.
Well, everyone jokes about that, but it was the episode, so I don't know why they couldn't just say rice ball. Like, that would have made any sort of difference, but whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Okay.
All right, and Alex, you'll be doing episode 26.
Oh, God.
Sensation.
I hated this episode.
Yeah, this one's going to be really hard because this was a lot compacted into, I guess, 20 minutes of content.
God, okay.
Three, two, one, go.
Okay, so in this episode, Ash and friends make it to Celadon City, where they go into a perfume shop, and Ash insults all the people working there, and he's not allowed to compete at the gym because he finds out that they're all gym trainers there. So Team Rocket shows up at some point to try to steal this perfume. Ash sneaks in with the help of Team Rocket, dressed up like a little girl. He breaks his disguise, they find out it's Ash, but then Team Rocket sets off a bomb, blows up the gym, catches on fire, Ash has to run back in and save Bloom in the end.
Good. You only went like 2 seconds over.
Okay.
I like how you didn't name Erica by name.
Erica was there.
I love
that. The time it got away from me, I'm sorry, there was too much.
That was a busy one.
That was a very, very, very busy one. There was a bunch of subplots in that one too.
We'll get there.
Episode 25, Primeape goes bananas.
The first thing I thought of, Alex, was you, because Oak is like, Ash, all the other trainers have caught lots of other Pokemon, and they have more badges than you. Gary has 30 Pokemon. Ash, you have shit.
Yeah, well, that was my first note that I wrote down about just how awful Professor Oak was in this entire episode, and I have thoughts about that. Why is Oak such a meanie?
He's very blunt. He doesn't beat around the bush. He's like, you're bad because of this reason, or you're good because of this reason.
I think Oak should just keep his opinions to himself.
He probably should. He might, there might be a reason why he's so smart and a scientist.
Is he even a scientist, or is he just a senile old man?
Yeah, why aren't they called, like, Scientist Oak? Or why are they, like, Professor?
Professor.
Yeah, but he does
Can
more
like... Can
we all
just say Professor at the same time and then had no other comment? Other than that?
Yeah, that was it. That was just like, he's a professor because they tell us.
I think he's a professor in name only. I think that he just called himself that one day, and then the people of Pallet Town, who, you know, they don't know any better, they just went along with it.
Okay, so Takashi Shudo's novels state that Professor Oak is actually a professor at Celadon University, but I don't believe he actually teaches classes.
Is Celadon University, like, a legit university, or is it one of those, like, online scam universities that
Like Phoenix.
Well, they went to Celadon City, and we didn't actually see Celadon University.
So then it's an online, it's a scam.
There are, like, institutions. I wonder if, like, that prep school in one of the earlier episodes, I wonder if that leads to, like, a university school where, like, they take, like, the prime from there. So there's only one specific way to become a professor. You have to buy your way in. Because Oak is obviously
a lot like real life.
Yeah, basically. Because Oak is really loaded. Because his house is huge.
I mean, all he does is sit around and drink tea and write poetry all day. That doesn't sound very, you know, professory or actually any sort of actual work. He just sits around and insults small children.
I will say we got this episode introduced both Oak's poetry and the concept that there's tons of Pokemon just wandering around Oak's laboratory area.
Yeah, who's feeding these things?
Not Tracy.
Yeah, not Tracy yet. That's the reason why now we know why Tracy is so important. Is Oak needed just like a a grunt.
Yeah, well, can I just point out that Oak has seemingly no qualms about using other people's Pokemon to do his, like, menial tasks around his lab, because he's sitting there like a lazy idiot, and he's just sitting there drinking tea and doing whatever, and the phone rings, and he's just content to ignore it. He's just sitting there. He wasn't even going to answer it until he's like, oh, Krabby, can you get the phone? And poor Krabby has to carry this entire computer phone up to Oak until he finally decides to be bothered and answer the phone, and then treats Ash like garbage. Yeah.
If Krabby wants to not be boiled alive, it has to work for it.
Yep. And actually get to a decent size. It's got to build up that muscle carrying these giant electronic machines around for a water Pokemon.
That's why it evolves into Kingler so fast.
Yes, I can't lift this. I gotta get big.
Because it was subjected to hard labor by Oak.
Yes. Why doesn't Ash recall Krabby? There's no reason for him not to.
I like Krabby.
Doesn't care for it.
Nope. Well, he obviously doesn't care for Pidgeotto either.
He does not give a shit about Pidgeotto.
No. We haven't seen Pidgeotto in, like, 10 episodes at this point.
I think the last time we saw it was when it confronted Tentacruel.
Yeah. He just kind of, like, carried Pikachu, and that was it, though, right? Did it throw any attacks or anything?
Okay. Nah.
There you go. But that made me think a point that you brought up, Alex. So Oak is pretty much always near a computer or some sort of, like, online device, so I think we can safely assume that this is an online university, because maybe he just has to be so connected to it that it's just right there to easy access, and he could just be like, okay, A for that student.
I thought he was just ready for a booty call at any time.
That boy. Too.
Julia calls him up.
What would the online Pokemon dating service be called? Like, what would the
poker?
What would the Tinder? Poker? Pokemon? Pokerwoman?
What other suggestions y'all got?
Gotta shag them all.
Oh boy. I was trying to think of a fire type or something that would be a clever pun, but I can't think of anything.
Hmm. It'd have to be based off of a move.
Oh my god.
Kingler.
So, Oak is a complete jerk. Poor Ash. He calls Oak to, you know, get some sort of fatherly praise. You know, he has no father figure in his life. He calls up Oak to be like, look, Professor, I've got 4 badges. I'm, you know, having a great time out here being a trainer. And then Oak is just like, ugh. Only 4 badges. I mean, that was just so unnecessary and rude.
It was. I want to ask you about this, because he talks about the other rivals. Do y'all know who he's talking about? Like, I know he mentions Gary. Of course, Gary. But, like, is there other stuff in, like, the manga or something? Is it, like, Red and Blue? Are those also his rivals in this?
They're nobodies.
They're nobodies. Oh, he just says it.
Spoiler for what happens to them. They give up.
Okay.
Even though they're doing so well. I don't know what happened with them, but they give up.
Okay. So it's not like some kind of hidden character they just didn't mention.
Who knows? Generic child.
Generic child.
The ones that got the other starter Pokemon.
But we do see Ash get kind of fired up for Oak's shaming, or Pokemon shaming. And so he actually goes out and actually tries to catch a Pokemon. And
not before enjoying some delicious jelly donuts.
Yes. On that journey to catch the Pokemon, they stop and they have some delicious, scrumptious, mouth-watering jelly donuts. Mm-hmm.
Which clearly are not jelly donuts.
I should have gone back and taken a note of every single time the word donut was used. I'm pretty sure it was over 30.
Do y'all know what the thing's actually called?
Onigiri.
Onigiri, yeah. I figured you would. And,
what are you trying to imply?
I figured you're smart enough that's obviously not a jelly donut. You would, even as a child, you would probably go look and see what it's actually called.
I remember them being like, donut, 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 and me thinking like, that's not a goddamn donut. If it was a donut, you wouldn't be saying that so much.
Yeah.
I mean, do they think the kids, I mean, what is the purpose of changing that? I mean, why can they not just say rice ball? Like, kids would not, I don't think they care either way. It doesn't make sense to me, but.
I love the fact that they did it just because of how stupid it is. Like, looking back on it now, I guess as kids that we probably bought it a little bit. Like, okay,
but again, I didn't.
Austin, you're really smart. So maybe some other kids have been like,
that's debatable.
I think they told Eric Stewart, they're like, okay, emphasize the words jelly donut, because I think he said the word jelly donut more than anybody else should have said the word jelly donut. He just kept on and on with it. It's like, thank you, Brock. We understand.
Then they catch the jelly donut.
Oh, yeah. They caught it in a Pokeball.
That was, like, my favorite scene when Brock's, like, throwing the jelly donuts at the Pokemon trying to catch them.
I felt bad. That was a waste of a perfectly good jelly donut. I did appreciate. Oh, sorry, if you have another point to make about the donuts.
Oh, I just looked it up and they said the reason why they did it was they didn't think kids would understand that it is a rice ball or onigiri, and cultural differences would leave them confused. So they just said jelly donut.
That's insulting to children's intelligence.
It really is.
I'm excited for in the later seasons when Four Kids decides to digitally alter the onigiri into like crackers and sandwiches.
Wow. Well, I was going to say, you know, despite going back to the whole Oak knocking Ash down a couple pegs, I did appreciate Misty in this episode. She actually addressed that and she said, remember, Ash, you know, you've got to do things your own way, get to the Pokemon League your own way. And Brock, they were really good friends this episode. Brock, you know, also chimed in. He's like, it's quality over quantity. You don't have to have all these Pokemon like Gary.
Yeah, which is correct, and it's also quite the switch from the Bill episode when they were like, all your Pokemon followed you. You need to catch more Pokemon.
Yeah, they're hypocrites.
Yeah, change of tune really quick all of a sudden.
But I mean, they're right. We should go over this. Like, it's wrong. You don't need to catch 30 Pokemon. Like, that's demonstrably untrue.
Yeah, super untrue. When y'all play the games, you get your 6, or like, I usually get 5. I don't even bother getting 6.
I catch one of each in the game.
You do? Oh, so you go all the way through?
That's because I like to read the Pokédex entries.
Okay, so you do the
But Pokédex. then they rot in the box for all eternity.
So you're one of those trainers.
Well, I'm in a video game. I'm not living in a real-world scenario where I'm capturing semi-sentient creatures and forcing them to live at Professor Oak's laboratory.
See, what is the point of, you know, Oak encouraging this? I mean, he's the one that they get sent to the lab. He's the one that has to then take care of all the Pokemon. Why would you not want to encourage, you know, catch your little insular group, you know, your top 4, 5, 6 or whatever, and then you really focus on bonding with those and training those Pokemon to be the best they can be instead of having, you know, hundreds of Pokemon you're not even gonna ever use or look at again. And it's just, like you said it earlier, Austin, you know, taking them out of their natural habitats, taking them away from everything they've known, just to go to a strange laboratory or presumably sit in a box. Like, that's cruel and inhumane.
Well, Oak is also cruel and inhumane, and he just wants free labor.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's really why. Yeah, he just wants the trainer's Pokemon so that they can help him out around the lab, and he doesn't have to, he can just sit on his duff all day and drink
tea. Actually gets us to, I can't remember which one it is. I think it's like Black and White. Is that the whole kind of like a separation between Pokemon and humanity really starts to really heat up? Was it N or something like that?
Yeah, just wait till N gets here.
Yeah, when N's like... Yeah, so N's spilling out what you're saying, Alex. But that's later on, so we won't jump too far ahead.
Black and White were some of the best games. I wish that... I know I'm jumping way, way ahead into the future, but I feel like they had prime opportunity to really go in depth with that sort of topic and, you know, really go all in, but they didn't. They kind of chickened out, and
I agree. That's what got me, I think I mentioned earlier that, like, Black and White was kind of like, I love that game because it was just kind of like what got me back into Pokemon a little bit. Dipped my toes in it before I fully went all in just because it was so different than the rest of them. I was like, finally something new to, like, spike my interest.
They had a good basis. The story, I mean, the whole...
It was really good.
Plot and, you know, the morality of it all, black, white, you know, good, bad. Actually, the whole, and exploring the whole premise of using Pokemon to fight battles and things, and they had a lot of opportunities to expound on that, but I think they towed the line and then got scared about it.
Yeah,
and
it went nowhere fast.
Yeah.
They immediately chickened out.
I know, Austin, we talk about this all the time. It's like, don't expect anything from this. You know, it's a children's series. They're not going to go too crazy with it. But I guess you get your hopes up as a more adult person. Like, oh, they're going to go into some more themes, you know, for the older audience to explore. But then they don't, so.
Well, I'm just waiting for the HBO Max series. And we'll see.
Oh, boy.
There's an HBO Max series?
There was a big... I'm not even sure if it was a rumor, if it was reported on. At one point, they were planning an HBO Max series.
Really?
Could you imagine?
Live action? Or
like a live action, and I believe it was stated to be Ash, Misty, Brock.
Really?
We'll see that when it comes to be, you know.
That would be awesome. HBO Max can do whatever they want.
I don't know. Yeah. What?
HBO Max can pretty much do whatever they want, because, like, Pokemon does touch on the adult stuff, but it's, like, nothing of its mainstream. Like, there's one with that kid who's, like, got cancer or something, and he has, and that's more of, like, an adult theme, but they never mainstream any of it. It's like, you got to go find the material.
My problem with HBO is they're always like, we're HBO. We can do whatever the hell we want. Explicit sex scenes for no reason, story-wise. And so I'm afraid of seeing Ash porking Misty from behind.
Oh, God, no, please.
Raichu. Raichu style.
Growlithe style.
Growlithe. I would hope that if it's something on HBO Max, it's not... They don't go the sexual route, and they go more like, oh,
yeah.
It's just the violence or something. You know,
they have like Sesame Street and stuff on HBO, I think, right?
The yeah. Ghibli movies too. So
maybe that doesn't mean anything.
I'm assuming it'd be like a kind of PG-13 ish at most kind of series. Like a what's a comparison I've been looking for? Because like even like ABC Family or whatever it's called now in the CW. That stuff gets a bit too raunchy for Pokemon standards.
Yeah.
So I really can't think of anything like that. Maybe like a, I don't know. We'll see what the live action Avatar The Last Airbender series is like. I don't know.
I don't have much faith in that. I just, God. All live action Avatar stuff got ruined for me from that movie. Was it the Shyamalan movie?
I love the movie.
You can't count God. That. That's a completely different thing.
Didn't he do Dragon Ball 2 or something like that? There's a...
The Dragon Ball Evolution?
Yeah.
Also love, but I don't think that was him.
Okay. They're similar, but I knew that one was better than the other, but just have to wait and see. HBO Max either does really good work, or they do really awful work.
I hope it's like Sex in the City. Ash riding his laptop in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Can a single young trainer have it all?
It's like Brock just getting rejected all the time. At least he puts in effort.
Okay, so Ash is Carrie... Misty is Charlotte. Brock is, I guess, Brock is
a Brock can be Samantha. Brock can be Lorelai. Oh.
What?
What? What are you talking about?
Who's Lorelai?
From, that Sex and the City? Or is that another show?
You mean Gilmore Girls?
Oh, yeah. Gilmore Girls.
Very different. Sex and the Gilmore Girls.
I want a Gilmore Girls Pokemon.
Ooh, that's a good... Well, even that has a bit too much for Pokemon.
I would just see Brock being Brock's Luke... Misty's Lorelai, and then Ash is Rory.
Oh, God, fuck Rory. Okay.
But doesn't that make sense, though? Doesn't that character...
Yes, I remember Misty. When Misty gave birth to Ash when she was 16.
Yeah, there you go. And then Flint's the... what's the guy's name? Her real dad's name?
Wait, what?
In Gilmore Girls, her real dad. Rory's real dad?
Chris,
yeah. Flint's Chris. And there we go. We got a show.
Yeah, when Misty and Flint hooked up to produce Ash, I remember that episode. Yeah.
He saw her in the window panel that nobody saw.
We could get a whole, like, you know, drama sitcom show about, like, Delia's past or something.
That's the HBO Max Pokemon series I want.
That's the one.
Perfect.
her bear with Oak.
This young
Forget
model.
Oak, I want Giovanni.
Giovanni's Ooh. In there.
This young model influenced by money, wealth, and power.
Yeah, she falls in with a gang of, like, you know, two-bit criminals and, like, the seedy underworld. Like, oh my God, it's perfect.
It's time Y'all. To go to Kanto.
Okay, we need to have a fan fiction episode. I'm just saying.
Forget what I was going to write about before. What did I say before, Austin? I had some idea. I can't remember, but forget it. I'm abandoning that. I'm going to write about Delia's life with Team Rocket.
Yeah, y'all, just let us know when you're tired of the episode discussions, and we'll go in that or down.
Yeah, we'll just take it that way. We'll just do it. We'll make Pokemon whatever we want Pokemon to be.
Go deep into the rabbit hole of ridiculousness.
Why don't you get a cease and desist? You're taking these characters way out of proportion, so...
Yeah, Nintendo, hey, they're known to slap people down hard when it comes to that stuff, so you gotta be careful.
So further on to the episode, the long rant, we come across a Mankey and...
Love Mankey.
I love Mankey too.
It was super cute. Oh my God,
it was.
Am I the only one that thought it was annoying?
Yes.
Oh no.
I mean, it was annoying, but it was cute annoying.
Yeah.
It was just annoying.
The way that it like jumped up to everyone.
It like jumped on their heads.
It like mimicked Ash.
I did feel a little bad for it, but then... I don't know. Part of it, I feel like, was somewhat deserved.
I thought when James kicked it, I lost yeah. it. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, he just punts it across the field. He's like, get out of here. Punts it 40 yards away. James has got a hell of a leg on him.
That's the second time he's kicked a Pokemon that evolved.
Yeah, every time he kicks a Pokemon, it evolves, too. There's a trend there. He's got the magic foot.
That's going to be for the HBO Max series, James' yeah. magic foot.
James's oh, magic my foot. God.
Sorry.
Secrets unveiled.
I did feel really bad for Charmander in this episode. I felt like Charmander consistently has gotten a raw deal. Like, nobody appreciates it. You know what? No wonder it turned out the way it turned out. I've just been watching.
The same thing.
I'm like, every time, I've been making a mental note of this. Like, every time we see Charmander, like, okay, you know, is Ash going to appreciate it? Is it going to actually not be kicked around or abused or something? Like, we had the whole it getting terrorized by Haunter in the last couple episodes, and then, you know, not to mention the whole Damien thing, and then in this episode, well, almost having its tail fire put out several times, and this episode getting completely the shit kicked out of it. Like, Squirtle and Bulbasaur were there. They didn't get that kind of abuse, and then Charmander gets called out and gets, like, the absolute crap kicked out of it for, like, several seconds.
I was thinking it was pretty telling that its special move was Rage.
Rage, yeah. Right. That was really cool. As his tail, as the flame on its tail grows larger, it gets more powerful.
It gets pissed.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It also knows Skull Bash. I think that was the next episode, but somehow it knows Skull Bash, which I thought was Squirtle's thing, but whatever.
They taught each other in the Pokeball. They're just hanging out.
They are friends, aren't they, Austin? Like, Charmander and Squirtle, aren't they, like, little friends?
I think in the last episode we saw Squirtle chasing Charmander as Bulbasaur napped.
Yes. Anyway, I felt like Charmander got really mistreated this episode.
Ash is really kind of not like really nice to his Pokemon a lot. Like, he has like
he
one.
He is or is not.
He isn't. Like, he is okay. Initially. Like, initially, he's really like nice and caring. But as we like go further on, that like nurture is not like going with him.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while to come back. And that actually brings me to the next episode. But before then, can we talk about the official Pokemon League Expo hat?
Yes, I was about to bring that up. I was hoping you would bring that up before we
we have a lot to discuss transition. With the hat.
Yeah. That's a big deal to Ash. That hat, a million postcards. He put in the work to get that thing.
I mean, that whole, like, ridiculous scenario is pretty fun.
I think that's actually... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wondering. I was thinking of this as you were saying that, because Misty makes a comment, something to the effect of how she only sent in one postcard. And then I was like, did Ash cheat? He sent in a million postcards. Like, was there a limit to how many postcards? Or did he, like, create different aliases to try to win this hat? Because he kept all these other kids from winning the hat, yep. Obviously.
He had to he's the most devoted fan of all. He's going to win that hat.
Something like that.
It was kind of a coincidence that I saw this. Because I was listening to another Pokemon-related podcast. That they were talking about, like, the Pokemon, like, epidemic that's going on with the cards and how people are paying ridiculous prices. Apparently in Japan recently there was a like an event where if you bought like popsicles and when you finished the popsicle on the stick it said like you won a prize or something like that, you had to collect like so many of the winning popsicle sticks and then you sent the sticks back to the factory and then they sent you a like an exclusive Pokemon card. And apparently people were like selling the sticks and the cards on like eBay for like super high prices and all that stuff like that. So I think this is kind of like a similar thing where Ash obviously bought some stuff and then stamped it or whatever and then sent it in.
Ash is the one going to Target and buying all the boxes of Pokemon cards.
Yes, he's the jerk doing it all.
Charizard and Blastoise and the Pokemon hats were cute.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yep.
Mankey in the hat was cute. Yep. Everyone in the hat is cute except for Ash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's harsh.
Shout out to Pikachu for being so concerned about the hat.
Yeah, he got it before.
Yeah, consistently he was going after that hat.
He knew how much it meant to Ash.
So much that he's going to not wear it after a certain point.
Yeah, obviously didn't mean that much to him because he changes his hat every time he goes to a new place.
He got those new postcards. He's like, oh, there's another event. I'm going to go buy up all the junk and trade it in.
I will say that there was a lot of good one-liners and exchanges in this episode.
Yeah, our quotes should be really good this week, not to put pressure on us. And speaking of quotes, so let's get into our MVP and LVP, where we name our most valuable player and our least valuable player. And the rule is there can't be repeats. And we're also throwing our quotes in this segment, which highlight a specific quote from the episode. Austin, me, and then Alex.
Oh, boo. Okay.
I'm going to give my MVP to Pikachu for knowing Ash loved that hat and jumping, like risking his life multiple times to get it. And I don't want to take Alex's LVP.
I'm probably going to take it.
I'm probably going to give it to Brock.
No!
Sorry, y'all. I'll give it to Brock for being such an idiot. And it was a funny moment, but he's like, as the primate is like beating the shit out of everything that gets within a foot of it, it's like, maybe the primate just needs some talking to. He like sits down to it, like crouches it, like, oh. "Hey, buddy, how's it going?" He gets like launched a million miles away.
So that's his bad.
Because Brock was an idiot.
He had good intentions. I love that oh.
I love that
And I guess my quote's going to be at the very end of the episode when Team Rocket comes out of the hole they dug. Which, by the way, how do they get in front of Ash and Primeape to dig the hole? But whatever. So Ash has caught Primeape, and Team Rocket sticks their head up, and Ash says, "Hey, look, it's the whole gang."
Oh. That was good.
Cool deal.
No, it wasn't. Don't lie to me.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to miss Ash and his little sassy attitude that he has. He's got some good one-liners.
He's like going through the terrible twos at like 8.
What 2-year-olds do you know that are giving out burns and puns?
I can name probably like 4, but I don't want to give their identities away because they're minors.
Cutting that out. I should probably note, Jacob, you keep on saying he's 8. He's 10.
Oh, he's 10, yeah.
You always say he's 8.
What? Is he ever 8? Or am I just like
crazy? No, he's never 8.
Oh, he's never 8? What am I 8
since the dawn of time?
So Ash is 10. Misty's, what, 10, 11?
10.
Brock's 15?
Yes.
Okay. I can remember Brock's. I just can't remember Ash's. I don't know why I think he's 8 all the time. Whatever.
He acts like it, I guess. But...
maybe Yugi's 8, and I'm just getting the series mixed up.
No, we found out Yugi's, like, 14 or whatever.
God. I'm way off.
Actually, let me look that up.
Yeah, so check that.
Actually,
back check.
Ash is probably like 11 or 12. I mean, time does pass, and
nope,
I think
he's 10. He's 10.
Oh my god, okay.
Yugi is 18?
No.
That has to be Yami Yugi, right?
No, it could be.
He's 18 as of the Dark Side of Dimensions movie.
So I don't probably believe like, that at all.
I don't know the length, because they don't actually like do continuous characters in there.
Ooh, they have his favorite food is hamburger. His least favorite food is oriental onion. This is on Wikipedia, by the way. No, wait, no, it's Yugipedia.
Okay.
He's 18? No.
I don't see him being 18, but whatever.
His alter ego, maybe, but...
well, how old are his friends?
Well, there's... was it May?
No.
Tristan.
Joey.
Tristan, Joey.
And, was it Taya or something?
They don't have ages.
They're around the same age, I assume. One of them's older, I think. One of them's actually kind of like 20 or something, though, because one of them...
it says Joey's 16.
Okay. Then Tristan might be the oldest one, then, if that's his name.
Taya's also 16. I think they're all 16.
Really? Huh. I thought there's an episode where one of them talks about how they can actually drive now that they reached that age, so...
oh, then they're 16.
Yeah. I just didn't know what the age was in, like, different countries, if they were going by Japan or America. Anyway, that's our Yu-Gi-Oh! Segment.
Yeah.
And, so my MVP is going to... I'm going to give it to Charmander. I think he's the only one out of the big three that put up a fight against Primate. So, kudos to him. And then my LVP is going to be James for getting Mankey to evolve into Primate and causing this whole issue there. And my quote is going to be when Brock is running away, and I can't remember if it's Primate or Mankey chasing after him. He takes a donut and just goes, "Donut, go!" and throws it and hits the Pokemon with it. And then he goes, "That didn't work. And I lost a donut."
That was a waste. Okay, well, Austin took my MVP. I had Pikachu originally. So I think I'm going to just go with, I'll give it to Misty instead. Like I said earlier, she gave Ash that really nice pep talk. Well, her and Brock, but, you know, she told him it's not, you know, don't forget everyone else. You know, you got to do your own thing. Unlike all the other wannabe trainers out there, you got to make it to the Pokemon League your own way. So I was like, that's really nice, you know, giving him a little bit of self-confidence boost there. And then, of course, Austin, did you know I was going to pick for my LVP, Professor Oak?
Yes, I did. I saved him for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, he's the obvious choice. I mean, he was just awful. That whole opening sequence with him just bringing Ash down a few pegs unnecessarily. I mean, he didn't have to say anything. He should have just said something like, you know, "Oh, good job, Ash. You know, keep on keeping on and, you know, check in with me later," whatever. But
I have an alternative theory.
And what?
Oak knows Ash actually has the most potential of all of them.
So he tears him down to build him up or something?
He knows at this point Ash needs a kick in the pants.
Oh.
He can't get cocky.
Oh, he's doing the, what's that other fake gym owner from the previous
AJ?
Episode? AJ, yeah, he's an AJ to Ash.
I don't know, that's sort of roundabout way of looking at it, I guess. A little tough love maybe, but still, he's... don't know what Oak's problem is. He did not. He wasn't a favorite for me this episode. And then the quote. There were so many good ones. I'm kind of torn between what Ash, something Ash said and something James said. But I think I'll just give it to Ash. He said at one point, he's like, I'm having a major hat crisis. Can you try to steal Pikachu some other time? Oh.
He's just being real.
At this point, he's used to the Team Rocket baloney.
All right, can we throw in the iconic line?
Please yes. do.
These donuts are great. Jelly-filled are my favorite. Nothing beats a jelly-filled donut.
Really emphasize that it's a jelly donut, Eric. Please.
Fill those lip flaps.
Yep. Donut, donut, so. Donut, 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 donut.
I also, I want to do an honorable mention for James at the one point where he says, Team Rocket always puts beauty before duty.
Yeah, I put that one too.
That was great.
Oh, yeah.
I love James.
He was your LVP.
Yeah, I know, but he calls the issues, but I love his, like, even his flaws are funny. He's just a goofy, he's good comic relief for a super serious show, so. All right, you guys ready to go to Celadon City?
We're on the as road ready to as we'll Celadon City.
This we episode was something.
We ain't stopping.
All right, so this is the, like, Ash misogyny episode.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a, he's a little rude.
I have a theory about Ash that I was going to say, but I'm going to throw it out there, because he's a... 100 minds between these two episodes. So Ash is definitely like a in the moment person, or he wants to be perceived as a good person, because when the moment when there's a moment of terror, Ash is to the rescue. Like, you know, he does it this episode, he does it for like Squirtle, he does it for Bulbasaur, he does it for Charmander. But like outside of that moment, he's horrible to the people he saves. So when there's a crowd watching, Ash puts on a good face, but when there's not, Ash gets a little maybe, I don't know, maybe a little abusive sometimes. That's a strong word, but you get what I mean.
When does he put on a show for the crowd?
Like with this episode, you know, with the fire.
I have a lot to say about the fire.
Okay. We can All right. save it there, but like, if you want to go and talk about it, you can. But like, there's a big show, and then Ash saves the day. Charmander, he's in front of Brock and Misty. You know, he's nice, but you know, I think he maybe plays the crowd a little bit there. Ash does.
Austin, what are your thoughts on the Celadon Gym fire?
I'm saving that till the end.
Okay.
Let's go sequentially.
Okay. So we start out with Misty discovering a perfume shop.
Uh-huh.
And Ash raining on her parade.
Ash rains on her parade because Misty's like, perfume! And, you know, just, you know, let her do her thing. Brock's there too. I don't even remember. Was he like pretty girls at the
yeah,
time?
Oh, he gets, yeah.
He
yes.
gets like hypnotized, kind of like, oh, they're girls. They're pretty.
Okay. And Ash is like pitching a fit. He's like, perfume is stupid. This is a waste of time. Let's go to the gym. And how old are we supposed to assume those girls working at the shop are? Are they like 16?
That's what I was like, thinking. Teenagers? 15 or 16.
Okay. So it kind of makes sense for them to be like, realistically, if they have a 16 year old girl working at a perfume store in a child comes in and he's like pitching a fit about like perfume stupid, I can see how realistically a teenager would be like, kid, shut up, go leave, get out.
Yeah.
Then Erica comes in. How old is Erica supposed to be? Is she like 25, 20?
I was thinking 20.
Okay, because she, I kind of feel like she's at the age where she's old enough to be like an adult versus a 10-year-old child or 8-year-old if Jacob's in charge, to just be like, okay, kid, that's cute. You know, stop making a scene. Please, you know, let your friend go shopping. You know, calm down. But instead she, like, goes, P for pretty, E for elegant, R for radiant, F for fun, U for urbane, M for mysterious, E for energy. What does that spell? Perfume! Which I'm like, okay, so Erica's another crazy person.
Yep, obviously.
And they, like, physically throw him out of the building.
No, no, they ban him.
Like, this went off the rails real quick. Yeah, it did.
Was I the only one who didn't realize that the perfume manager was Erica the whole time? I didn't even realize that at first.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was some girl or woman, I guess, honestly. And
it could have been her mother.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was her until way later on in the episode where Ash has that flashback where he's, like, making the connection between, oh my god, it's Erica. I was like, what? That was her? Okay. I was just as confused as Ash.
I mean, in her manager form, she looked like adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, it was yeah. the makeup or something. I don't know. She didn't look similar to me, but whatever.
Yeah, that's these gym leaders, too, between Sabrina and this one, they have, like, this weird following, too.
Yeah, where's Miss? I guess Misty's sisters have a following.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All these kind of like the women gym leaders seem to have like more of a. They do have a following. Misty's sisters do. They're just like
yeah, the weird horny
men.
Men.
Yeah, shouting.
Lieutenant Surge has his like ruffian people.
Yeah,
Brock has his siblings.
But it gets more extensive the way we go. Like Sabrina's were wanted to be psychics, and then I don't even know if Erica's training them to be like. Perfume people, or if she's training them about like Pokemon, or maybe both. I don't know.
Yeah, there was like a weird, like some of them were working at the shop, some of them were at the gym, but some of them were doing both.
Yeah, I couldn't decide, like, what is she going for here? What's her angle?
What's the job description? Retail sales and also Pokemon care and maintenance.
Yes, right. 10 years experience.
Can somebody explain the part where they're sitting around, like Misty, and then a bunch of these, like, girl gym. Trainer, school girl people. I don't even know what they were. They were in her. She runs like a school, I guess. I don't know, but she's like telling them a story about the Ammonite or something.
Like, it was like a children's story.
Yeah, but they were adults.
Yeah,
the people sitting around were like these young adult gym trainer in training people. I have no idea.
That's like, Misty was the only child there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Ashley.
Yep.
I'm like, you guys are, like, 16 years old getting read a story, picture storybook.
And the other girls were, like, one of them was giving, like an aerobics class to a Tangela, a Bellsprout, and an Execute. And I'm like, what the fuck is Execute supposed to do?
What is going on here? Like, oh, my. I wonder, are these people paying for this? Because this is kind of like a scheme that, like, Erica's making them work, but they're paying her for the lessons, but they're... And then Sabrina... I don't know.
Okay, let's go back to Ash and Team Rocket, because Ash goes into the gym, and, like, I think we're supposed to assume the gym trainers are, like, they're overstepping their limits, because they stamp a red X on Ash's face and throw him out the door and say, we make that perfume here, you're not allowed. Later, they find Team Rocket breaking into the gym, and the two rules of Erica's gym are, one, no hating perfume, and two, no thieves allowed. Those are the
really
rules.
Weird rules. Fair.
So the gym trainer, the girls, take Team Rocket, tie them up, and hang them from a tree in the park.
That's not good.
I guess in the world of Officer Jenny, that's probably a more effective means of stopping an intruder.
We don't see Jenny in Sabrina or Erica's, like, city, do we?
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's
funny
definitely...
that.
Yeah, so the law and order is the gym's responsibility in these cities. So
the gyms have absolute authority to do anything they want.
They can deal out their own form of vigilante justice and nobody bats an eye.
Hell, Erica's gym trainers probably could have kept them hostage like Sabrina did.
Yeah.
And nobody would even know.
Sabrina's very, Erica's very particular too, because you imagine like living in that city and you tweet like Erica's perfume smells like butt or something like that. You're going to get a rant. Someone's going to come up and stamp you on the
Glock
face.
You. Tie you up in a holy place.
You're tarred and feathered. You're excommunicated from
the city. Clearly Celadon City is not a place for free speech because you can't. You can't dislike perfume without facing the wrath of, like, Erica and her, like, cronies.
Like, okay, I get Ash going into their storefront and being like, perfume, stupid! And then being like, okay, kid, get out.
Yeah, but he's a 10-year-old kid for one thing.
That's the thing.
And they should, like you said earlier, they should just sort of entertained him and been like, okay, well, if you don't like it, you're free to leave, and just de-escalate it that way instead of barring the perfume shop. Well, yeah, but the perfume shop and the gym are two separate entities. You can dislike perfume but still be allowed to partake in the gym challenge. Those things are not, they don't have anything to do with one another.
That actually goes to another point. That's a great point, Alex, because remember Ash gets excommunicated. Right, and then he gets found. he gets like found, like as sneaking in, as pretending to be the girl, and then like they're gonna throw him out again for being a thief or whatever. But then he says, "I'm there for the gym challenge." And then all of a sudden, all is forgiven because Erica says, "Oh, it is my responsibility as a trainer to abide by the code and partake in the battles."
Right. So I think she threw him out of his place of business, but I think her like servant girls were overstepping their boundaries by throwing him out of the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they took that on themselves, and
because
she said she made some comment, like you were saying, Jacob. She made some comment to the effect of like, you know, the rules of the gym, like the league, you know, bind me. I have to accept your challenge or something.
But if it weren't for that, I'd be kicking your ass out on the curb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Everybody, I mean, they have to give everybody a fair chance just because your personal feelings about perfume. I mean, that aside, it has nothing to do with facing the leader of the gym, which.
It's weird how these like dumb things in these episodes like relate so much to real life.
Do they?
Well, look,
Letting
like
your
the
personal feelings cloud your professional obligations.
And how there's like, is there a line across there? Is there not? It's watching it at this age, it's like, huh, there's a lot there, actually.
I like how Okay, so Ash finds Team Rocket in the park. He cuts him down, presumably. And I like how they take him shopping. So presumably they were paying out of their own pocket for his dress and wig and
Yeah, they
stuff.
were.
And I'm like, oh, I hope Ash kept all that stuff. That was very nice of them.
That was.
Team Rocket was great in this episode.
It was James's best disguise ever. He used Meowth as a paunch, and he like wore a mask and
Yeah.
he didn't even
like
look like
covered his.
himself.
Yeah, it was his best disguise he's ever had.
James as the old man is like the funniest thing I've seen.
Them as Ash's parents was cute and funny.
That was a little.
Of course, then Team Rocket goes and tries to bomb the gym.
The
What did
blaster
they
ball.
call it? Oh yeah, blaster
A
ball.
blaster ball. They can't call it a bomb because it's a kids show, but a blaster
It's a
ball.
bomb. It causes a fire. They could have killed people.
Who's? I guess Giovanni supplying them this stuff because I assume they're not just buying it, or maybe there's some kind of weird black market going on within these cities. I don't know.
I wonder if Team Rocket paid out of their own pockets for Ash's outfit, or if they like billed it to Giovanni.
That'd be amazing if they put it on their like corporate credit card or something.
Don't they have that though? Isn't it mentioned in one of the episodes
I think
something
they
about like?
market.
They say something about like a corporate account or something.
Yeah,
Like we're gonna charge
okay.
you to the corporate account.
Yeah, I thought they referenced it a little bit. So obviously they're not paying the price for this stuff.
Could you imagine Giovanni looking at the invoice for the month and just being like, "What the hell is this?"
Okay, so we have a th 40,000 dollar robot, disguises for a little girl, bomb, $40,000 robot again, shovels,
Oh man.
jelly donuts.
Jelly donuts.
So to okay, Austin, you had discussion points about the fire.
Oh, I'm not even there yet. First, we're going to
Okay.
the battle.
Okay, yeah,
Oh,
the
that
battle
was sort
that's
of underwhelming.
she has to
We're
take.
not at good battles yet. We're still at kind of like you attack, I attack, still images, no real dynamic animation or strategy or movement happening on the field. It's just like
Interrupted.
playing a turn-based RPG, basically.
Except nothing finishes.
Except nothing finishes because Team Rocket has to unleash a bomb.
Yeah.
But before that, I'd like to point out that Erica, and this is going back to what I was saying about Ash not being kind to his Pokemon. Erica all of a sudden whips out, "Your battle skills are impressive, Ash, but there's one thing you don't have: empathy with your Pokemon.
Oh,
Without it,
yeah.
you'll never become a great Pokemon trainer like me. Now I'm gonna give you a lesson in empathy." So she sends out her next Pokemon, and then I guess beats Charmander with Gloom just smelling bad, and then she fucking laughs her head off, like ha 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 ha. Like, okay, I'm not seeing how this is giving him a lesson in empathy in any way, but okay.
I mean, Jacob did make that point, I think, when we were talking about the last episode about how Ash doesn't treat his Pokemon very well, and
Right.
he hasn't really, aside from Pikachu, which the obvious favoritism, which I'm not even going to go into that right now, but he doesn't treat them very well, so Erica wasn't wrong.
No, she wasn't wrong. She was right, but she didn't effectively teach him anything about empathy
No.
with his Pokemon.
She just kind of like kicked his Pokemon's butt, then just laughed about it, and
Yeah.
instead of actually going into like a monologue about how this is why
Right. And this
empathy
was a
should.
later season, there would actually be like a lesson to this, but instead it's just random shit happening.
It is.
Then there's a fire. Okay,
Yep.
go. My point about the fire was basically, how dare this cartoon teach children you're supposed to run into a ru burning building to save your dog or
Okay,
whatever?
that
I'm
was
so glad you mentioned
terrible.
that. I was thinking the exact same thing. This is something you would not show. You would show like the Squirtle Squad showing up and actually like doing their job.
And the police stopping at, like, Ash may try to have been, "Hey, I'm gonna go in there. There's still a Pokemon." And they'd be like, "Don't worry, we've got professionals taking care of it. Don't risk your life." But Brock and Misty seemed to be okay with it too. They were like, "Oh, good job, Ash.
Yeah. Like no one tried to
Awesome."
stop him. I think Misty
Yeah.
said something,
Well, there's no
right?
cops anyway, so.
Misty said, "Ash, you can't go in there," or something to that effect, but
Right. But like he
she
gets rewarded for running into a burning building.
Again, theater. Ash loves theater.
Erica doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she gives him a fucking badge for his bravery or whatever. I'm like, lady, you're crazy. You do not know how to interact with children, for one thing.
No, he could have died.
The only good thing it showed about the fire was them actually showing how to, like, utilize the Pokemon to put out the fire. Like, Starmie's actually useless. Or useful. Useful this episode. You know, that's actually good to see. And, like, I thought it was going to be, like, a teamwork building thing where they put out the fire. I forgot Ash actually, like, almost dies. You know, he almost suffocates and burns a lot.
What we didn't see was Ash succumbing to his lungs giving out.
The smoke inhalation.
Yeah. I will say this. This is the Pokemon world. The fire apartment seemingly doesn't exist other than the Squirtle Squad. Officer Jenny's off snorting coke somewhere in an evidence locker.
Drinking
there probably was. There wasn't going to be anyone coming to save them. They had to fight for their own.
Like, why didn't Ash... I guess thinking of that, if they had... Well, they didn't have to have Ash running into the burning building, but why not have Squirtle go with him, like, douse him in water, so at least to keep the fire off of his body, and then make some sort of comment at the end, you know, oh, I would never have been able to do that if I didn't have Squirtle here with me, or something. Something like that.
Show proper safety when it comes to fire.
And he didn't tie anything Pokemon around his face to...
No.
He needed to tie a rope around him, too. That way they can pull him out if something bad happened.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that was a good point. I
would have loved if this episode, when the fire was going, if somebody would have took, like a bottle of the perfume and dumped it on the fire, try to put it out, and it just, like, the flames just went higher.
And Ash is like, see, your perfume really is stupid.
This perfume's too hot for me.
He had a point the whole time.
Oh, goodness.
So, he got a badge out of it. He got the rainbow badge.
He still only beat one gym leader.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Like, Ash, I think he's the only trainer in existence to have won more badges by luck or on some sort of technicality than any other trainer in existence. I mean, it's just absurd at this point.
Did he question this one like he did the others? Or did
no.
he just take it and walk?
Yes.
Wait, I'm a hero.
Okay. So he felt justified with this badge compared to the other ones that were just as stupid. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Now we know Ash's moral lines.
I mean, honestly, at this point, like, who can blame Ash? These people are throwing gym badges at him right and left. Just take the damn thing.
Just take it. No, I mean, no wonder he's a cocky little shit sometimes. I mean, he just gets all these things handed to him. It's like... Granted, in this case, he did stupidly run into a burning building to save a gloom of all things, but I don't condone the fact that he did that and he got a badge out of it, but I don't know.
That's a great point.
I like to think that Gary also had to set the gym on fire and run into it to get his badge.
Just to copy him?
I mean,
no, Gary already had his before Ash went there.
No wonder Ash is struggling so hard and not in the same... He's not keeping pace with the other trainers. I mean, presumably the other trainers are winning these badges on their own merits, you know, actually training their Pokemon, actually doing trainer-like things. And here's Ash just screwing around and, like, pure dumb luck getting these badges, having things fall into his lap. I mean, no wonder he's not having an easy time.
To what you were saying, though, Alex, you brought up a great point that everyone is, like, putting him on a pedestal, which goes back to why Oak is sort of like the yin to the yang here, kind of keeping him grounded, which, like, I think you were talking about Austin, so everyone plays a role.
You know what? Actually, you know what? I played myself, because maybe Oak has a point. Maybe I was wrong in calling him my LVP last time. You know, he's actually questioning it. You know what? I take it back. Jacob, you're right.
I wonder how aware Oak is of, like, yeah, and then we got turned into dolls, and then I had to go get the honor and make her laugh and break her out of her psychic status of horrors, and then I had to run into the burning building and save the gloom, and then, like...
How does that compare?
Like, what the fuck is going on?
How does that compare to everyone else's experience? You know? Like, there's a reason
and
why...
And then I had to reunite Brock with his father, and...
Maybe... That's Oak's whole point, is that he just wants Ash to be a normal person and just do a normal trainer experience and not have all these wacky-do things happen to him. Stop unnecessarily doing weird shit. Oh, man, that's great.
Season one is so weird. Okay.
It is, yes. We're doing a great job of picking it apart, though. I will give that to us.
So, Ash and friends are heroes, and now they can get out of Helidon City.
Ayo.
Ayo. That was good. That was like a pun earlier. All right. I guess with us doing two episodes, any more thoughts and feelings or anything else we want to close out with? Any more feelings about Professor Oak?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be so hard on Professor Oak. Maybe he has a point after all. That's all I'm saying.
I'm an Oak addict.
I guess we can go and do. Did we do MVP, LVP, and all that stuff yet?
We did not.
Okay. I forgot.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, maybe I like blacked out and you guys went and did that without me or something. But I was like, wait, we're not ready to wrap up yet.
All right, now it's time for MVP, LVP part of the episode. And same rules apply to previously. You know, no repeats. And your quote cannot repeat either. And I got the randomizer ready. We're looking at Alex, me, Austin.
Okay, so for this episode, for my MVP, I picked Jessie. Jessie was great. It was her idea to dress up Ash as Ashley in the first place. So I had to give that slot to her this time. My LVP, I just wrote down the gym girls that denied Ash entry to the to the gym over some freaking perfume. I don't even know their names, but they were awful. And the quote that I had was Meowth. Meowth had a great couple lines in this episode.
Ugh.
Oh, man. He says something like, he's like, my nose feels like it's on fire. And Jessie responds back and says, Meowth, you don't have a nose. And Meowth freaks out. He's like, my nose, what happened? The stink dissolved it off my face. And he's like, oh, wait. The cartoonist never gave me a nose in the first place. Breaking that fourth wall.
No, you took my quote.
I'm sorry.
No, that was great. I'm glad you did. That was,
So how does...
That was funny.
I'm just wondering, side note, how does Meowth smell at all then? If he doesn't even have a nose? How does he smell?
With his tongue.
Ooh, maybe.
Oh, gross.
He's like a snake. He just does it.
He learned it from Atkins, I guess.
So my MVP is someone who just made me laugh this episode, and that was Brock. Because, like, when Ash actually sneaks into the gym, we see, like, just all these, like girls sitting around listening to Erica. And then all of a sudden, Brock just stands up in the middle of a group of nothing but girls. Just like, yeah, Ash, or hello, Ashley, welcome to, just being a random guy, being a random follower. That little part made me laugh, so kudos to Brock for making me laugh. And then my LVP was the point that Austin brought up about Ash just running into the fire. I know he did a noble thing there, but let's be real, that was really dangerous, and we do not condone those practices. So Ash will be my LVP, and then my quote goes back to Meowth and James when they have the blaster ball, and James goes, Meowth, where did you put the blaster or the blast ball? And Meowth goes, near us, so I wouldn't lose it. And then kaboom.
All right, I don't have an MVP for this episode, so I'm going to just give it to
everyone.
You could pick Gloom for saving Erica.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say Gloom is my LVP.
Oh, okay, for saving Erica?
First of all, look at Gloom. Yes, first of all, because it saved Erica. It should let that Grimer killed her. Then we wouldn't have this fire situation going on. LVP of Gloom also for, look at that fucking thing, it's nasty, it's disgusting, its eyes are always closed, and when it opens them, they're like blood stained red, like it's like high on itself all the time, it's like drooling and shit, it's it sounds disgusting, it looks disgusting, it moves around so slow, it smells bad. Gloom does not deserve to exist.
Lord.
Fuck Gloom and fuck Erica too.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Also Gloom for when everyone evacuated from the building. Gloom just worthlessly stands there, does not bother leaving the battlefield. It has a perfectly clear exit way to the stairs that lead to the main hallway that lead to the exit. And it's just standing there for seemingly 20 minutes, not doing anything. It's going, old. Yeah, well, it is old. That is a good point. But still... Old people need to learn how to escape from fires too.
Okay, let me challenge that point though. Would you blame Gloom or would you blame Erica for having empathy for a Pokemon but not having the knowledge to go back and get
right?
Gloom?
Whoa, you're right. She abandoned it there.
Yeah, and that's why I have a double LVP for Erica for being a tyrant of a business manager. For giving her stupid Ammonite stories to grown adults, like their children, for screaming, like, pee for pretty, or whatever, to Ash, like a lunatic, for what else did she do, for going on her empathy shit, and then not teaching Ash empathy, instead beating him up and saying, and then abandoning her gloom in the gym, and then 20 minutes later being like, has anyone seen gloom?
Yeah, she was really full of herself, wasn't she?
Is this a lot of pent-up emotion you had saved up?
Yes.
I can feel
I just exploded out of nowhere. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't realize how strongly you felt against Erica.
Wow.
It was just one thing after another.
Okay,
just
I just want to
play the game and beat her.
Okay,
Sorry. Before you moved on, I just wanted to go back to that, circle back to that point where you made it, where all the trainers were like gathering up all the Pokemon, you know, with the Pokeballs. And you're right. Where was Erica? They were literally just
Erica
battling.
Erica was the first one out the door. Yes,
she
gone.
Caught Bloom and got out of the way. Yep, pushed
right.
her over. Left.
I mean, if we're gonna be nice to Erica, we could say that she was like, she was probably like making sure all the weak Pokemon, like all like the random execute in the yoga class and shit. She was like in charge of making sure everyone's accounted for, but she clearly did a bad job of it since her gloom didn't move 5 inches from where it started.
The only one, too. It wasn't
and
like
she,
a,
yeah, and yeah. she had her Pokeball. She could have recalled it first thing. Okay, so my MVP, I'm gonna give it to, I'll give it to Gary for getting his rainbow badge without having to run into a fire.
Like a normal person.
And for my quote, I'm going to say, when Ash is Ashley, someone says, I wish Ash could have heard that story. And Ash says, I heard it. I'm standing right here. Or whatever. And then they all look at him, / her, and Ashley says, please don't scare me like that. I'm a very shy little girl.
Well,
I love someone, the concept of saying, like, don't stare at me. I'm a shy little girl.
Alternatively, we can give MVP to Veronica Taylor for just pulling that off so flawlessly.
Yep, showing her range.
Can I make a note real quick, back to the whole when Ash came out of the dressing room as Ashley and Meowth's face?
Oh, like, I didn't notice.
He was actually blushing. Aww. Like, Jesse was oh my gosh!
That.
And then Meowth had the blush marks on his face. I was like, whoa, okay. That's
we know Meowth has a weakness for human girls.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Alright, that's it.
That's it.
That was great.
Don't run into fires.
I love that, the ending rant. Spectacular.
Don't kick monkeys.
Yep. I'm glad I know now that Austin felt so strongly about, you know, with his hatred for Erica.
It's a newfound hatred.
It's a newfound.
But really, Gloom is the one I hate most of all. It's nasty. It doesn't deserve to be alive. It should have burned in that fire.
Well, how do you feel about Vileplume?
Vileplume's okay. It's just boring. I'm much more of a Blossom fan.
That gym's kind of a joke in the game, though. Really.
I barely remember.
Yeah, it's just, that's because it's a joke. It's just the easiest one, from what I remember.
I remember Erica's like a narcoleptic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the sleep powder in the gym.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
I just remember the lecherous old man standing outside of the gym in Gen 1, and then they changed it later, I think, in the remix. I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the first one, wasn't it like, this gym's great, this gym's full of pretty girls or something, and then... Mm. In the remake, like, let's go Pikachu, let's go Eevee, and then the others, he says something like, he's still standing there, but he says, this gym is great, it's full of strong trainers, or whatever.
I'm
like, okay.
I'm surprised they didn't have Mo standing there and being like, I can't wait till Misty is 18 years older, she reminds me of my granddaughter.
Oh, gross. Maybe he was the old man in the game.
Maybe.
It's canon. You heard it here first.
And not to mention they got rid of the Celadon City, like, the whole gambling thing.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. They got rid of all that. The poster and the Team Rocket and Game Freak is there.
That would have been cool to see. I hate that they kind of snubbed that stuff, but whatever. I guess you only got so much time, and there's a million episodes, so.
At this point.
All right. Any closing thoughts or opinions or concerns?
Oh, that was great. I think we covered a lot of ground, even though we did 2 episodes this time.
I agree. Now, Austin, any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
Jesse mentioned Cleopatra by name, so we can add him to the list of Albert Einstein of real-life figures who exists.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, she did! Yeah.
Oh, you didn't mention that earlier. She was, she's Cleopatra surrounded by
like
Nastina's
naked
men.
That
was
servant boys.
So I'm going to put Noah on that list, too, because I'm going to assume he's a historical figure in the Pokemon world. That's it. Those are all the real people.
Yep.
Is that the only one? No, wait. Noah.
Einstein.
I said Einstein. Noah.
Oh, yeah. You did?
Yeah,
oh,
Einstein
sorry.
Invented the light bulb.
Oh, right.
And you got Noah, who saved the planet, and then you have Cleopatra, who was just a beauty.
We should keep a list. Do they mention any more real-life figures?
It's great when they talk about Teddy Roosevelt.
Do they really?
We'll see.
Okay.
I can't remember. I hope they do, though, because then I'd be right. All right. I guess with everyone's final thoughts wrapped up, we can go ahead and remind our audience that if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. And we also have a Twitter, which may or may not be active. Twitter, we're having some complications with Twitter, but we do have a Twitter, and it's @dryingpanseries.
For now.
So, for now, yes, for now. So that's
we should clarify, the problem is I locked myself out of it, but...
Hopefully we can get back into it in the meantime.
Yes, but there's already a bunch of cool stuff on the Twitter feed if you want to go check that out. We have episodes, memes,
other Jacob cool stuff posing without his clothes on.
That's on the OnlyFans, but...
Oh, okay.
You have to pay. You have to pay if you want to see that, so...
Okay. You know. You cheapskates out there. It ain't for free. get in touch with us if you want to. We're all having a very fun time here.
Tell your friends.
All right. That concludes this episode, and join us next week as we gather again and as the journey continues.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10/1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.